This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. We have an absolutely incredible shir for today, final shir before Purim. We're going to examine many aspects of the mitzvah Hayom and of the Megillah that we're familiar with, but we're going to shed them in new light. And we're going to start with the day before Purim, and that is Tainus Esther. And that is Tainus Esther. If you poll most people, why do we fast on Tainus Esther? Most people will erroneously say, well, you know, there's a fast in the Megillah, and Esther fasted for 3 days, and the Jews fasted for 3 days, and therefore we also fast to commemorate their fast, which is absolutely incorrect. Nobody says that. That's not the reason for the fast. They fasted on Pesach. We don't fast Pesach, we fast Erev Purim. So why do we fast on Tainus Esther? There's no record in the Megillah that they fasted, and there's no record in history that they fasted. So the Rush and all the Rishonim struggle. Why do we fast on Tainus Esther? And the Rush says in Siman Aleph, the Ran also says this, and the Avodraham says this, and the Kolboy says this, and the Machzor Vitri says this, Va'oid Va'oid, that the 13th day of Adar, the Gemara says, is Man Kehila Lekoil. It's a time that everybody gathered. And the Rishonim explain that we have a tradition that whenever the Jews go out to war, they fasted. We have a tradition that when we went to fight Amalek in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, we fasted. That's Jewish practice. One would not have thought that fasting is the best thing to do when preparing for a war, but that is the Jewish tradition, that whenever we went out to war, we fasted. Now, we have no record that they fasted on Yud Gimel Adar, the day that they killed the Amalekim, but Mestoma they did, they probably did, because that's Jewish tradition. So since they probably fasted, we commemorate a day that they probably fasted. That's what the Rush says. And that is the authoritative reason for Tainus Esther, but obviously, Adayin Srichen Lahamik Bedavar, we still need to investigate the matter. What perhaps is a deeper reason for the fast day before Purim, Habaleinu L'Toyva? We know that Megillas Esther was written in Baruch HaKodesh. Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nechtava. The Pasuk says, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes Ka'amita Shal Torah. And therefore, the same way the Torah, every word is written precisely, every discrepancy, every nuance is laden with meaning. So too Megillas Esther. The student of the Megillah has the right to ask, what is this Pasuk doing here? What is this word doing here? What is this big letter doing there, small letter? And just like the Torah itself, there are a number of big letters in the Megillah. And as we could point out, a big letter or a small letter is very significant. For example, this past week, the Vayikra. There's a small aleph in the Vayikra. The Megala Amukos wrote a sefer of only 1,000 Perushim why there's a small aleph in Vayikra. So, and believe me, that's not, those 1,000 reasons are only scratching the surface. Okay, so here you have already a God of Yisrael who understands 1,000 reasons for a small aleph. So let's examine some of the letters in the Megillah. So we go to the beginning of the Megillah, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Chur, Karpas, Uscheles, white wool, Karpas wool, blue wool, and of course we have a big ches. Why is there a big ches? Comes the Roikeach, one of the Rishonim, Rav Lezer Migarmaiza, one of the masters of the secrets of the Torah. Chur, it's a big ches, to indicate that not only did Achashverosh don the big day kahuna, but he donned the big day kohen gadol, and he put on all 8 vestments, and therefore there's a big ches. That's what the Roikeach writes. We move further on in the Megillah. Vatichtoiv Esther Hamalka Vasavichayel Vamardachai HaYehudi as Kol Toikef, and Esther wrote. And we encounter a big tough. Again, the Roikeach comes, and he says that this ksiva is not an ordinary ksiva. This is a ksiva ledoyrois, as Esther petitioned the chachamim kisvuni ledoyrois, and they sent back to her, no, we can't write it. Remember, the chachamim didn't want to write it because it says in Mishlei halei kasafti lecha shalishim, you can only discuss Amalek 3 times. And she sent, no, we have to write it. It says kisoiv zoisi karoim ba sefer. So therefore, says the Roikeach, Batichtoiv Esther Hamalka Bas Avichayil is Gematria Zois Zikorain Basefer Vesim Baozne Yehoshua Ki. Obviously. So therefore, that's why there's a big tav to indicate that this writing was in sync with the command of the Torah of Zois Zikarin Basefer Vesim Baozne. So, or we could say another pshat says Rekeach, that the letter tav is which letter of the Hebrew alphabet? The 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there were 22 women in the Tanakh who stood up for the Jewish people and made significant contributions. Keneged these 22 women, Shlomo HaMelech composed Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. The composition Eishes Chayil is in deference to the 22 great women in the Tanakh. And I guess you'll take one out and you'll put your wife in, or at least that's what you'll tell her. And by the way, the Eishes Chayil has nothing to do with your wife. Eishes Chayil is when Shabbos starts. Shabbos is the day to learn Torah. Eishes Chayil is referring to the Torah, but don't say that. Just keep that, okay? But anyway, therefore the tough is big to indicate that Esther was the 22nd woman of valor who contributed toward Klal Yisrael. Okay, so one very interesting thing is, we have two big letters in the Megillah, a big Ches and a big Tav, and each one has their own independent Pshat. The big Ches is for the 8 vestments of the Kohen Gadol. The big Tav is for the 22nd woman of valor. Okay. Marv Raboisai, you know, there's another anomaly in Megillah Esther, and that is, it's one of the only Svarim that God's name doesn't appear. Now, the truth is, it's not the only one, but I'm not going to tell you what the other one is now. I'll let you figure it out on your own, okay? But it's more, people think it's the only one, so we'll say it's the only one. It's the only book that God's name doesn't appear. Why is God's name not in the Megillah? Why not? Why? Because everything He did was hidden. Okay. So what? So let Hashem say. Let it say. Hashem's name. Well, what's the real reason God's name's not in the Megillah? Another thing, one of the most peculiar mitzvahs. Amar Rava, Mechayiv Inish L'Besumei B'Puraya Ad L'Yada Bein Ha'ar Haman L'Baruch Mordechai. You need to get so drunk you don't know if you're coming or going. Is this a good idea? You know, they teach this in high school. This was never taken out. What's the pshat of this mitzvah? Chayiv Inish L'Besumei B'Puraya Ad L'Yada Bein Ha'ar Haman L'Baruch Mordechai. You know, the Gemara also says, Esther petitioned Chachamim, Kisvuni, Kavuni Ladoirois. The Chachamim said, no thanks. Kina ad ma'ireras aleinu bein ha'uma ha'ivdei kachavim. If we're going to establish Esther, we're going to record Esther, it's going to incite anti-Semitism. And therefore the Chachamim said, you know how, you know what society is like today? We cannot record Megillas Esther. Why would Megillas Esther incite anti-Semitism? What is so provocative about Megillas Esther that the Chachamim were afraid to record it because it would incite anti-Semitism? Okay, Marv Raboisai, since I know this is something that many people face, this is a challenge that is a very prevalent challenge. I know a lot of you have a lot of snakes in your house, so I want to tell you immediately what you could do about it. Look in the Yalkut Shemini, number 6. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon, Bayis Sheyesh Bei Nechashim, a house that has snakes in it. Raise your hand if you have a lot of snakes in your house. Okay, it's unanimous. We all have a lot of snakes in our house. Mevi'in Keren Shalayelet, you bring a horn of a ram, Umeashnin B'soicha, you smoke into it, Umeyad HaNechashim Barchim, and the snakes run away. Okay, so this is just a good piece of advice to have in your back pocket. When you have snakes in your house, you take out a shofar, you smoke into it, whatever, Marlboro, Cat, whatever brand you want to use, and the snakes disappear. Kach kishabos Esther barach Haman. So too, when Esther came, Haman ran away. The age-old, the well-known, smoke into the shofar trick to get away the snakes. That's what happened to Haman. And it comes to Ben Yehoyada, and the Ben Yehoyada writes, what in the world is this Medrash telling us? You know, the Gemara says Esther is compared to what? Ayelas HaShachar, the morning star. She's compared to a gazelle. Why? Just like the morning star is the end of the night, Esther is the last miracle. And the question is, Esther's not the last miracle. Chanukah is a later miracle. How is Esther the last miracle? Says the Ben Yehoyada, the last miracle that would transpire in world history is the downfall of Edom and the destruction of the Klipa of Amalek. And here the Ben Yehoyada reveals to us the main principle of today's shiur, a very frightening principle, a principle that we're not really fully aware of. As Purim comes, we're ecstatic, it's a very joyous Yom Tov, but on the other hand, there's a certain undertone that we're about to be apprised of, and that is, says the Ben Yehoyada, Haman was never eradicated completely. Haman's decree was never abolished. Says the Ben Yehoyada, every year by reading the Megillah and doing the other mitzvahs hayom, we sort of chip away more and more and more of Amalek until the final time that we're zoicha to mekayim this mitzvah and we will eradicate Amalek completely. But the threat, the looming threat of Haman was never abolished. And we could say that's the meaning of the pasuk. Ki kesav asher nichtav b'shem ha-melech ein Lahashiv. Once God Almighty, Melech in the Megillah is God, once God Almighty authenticated and endorsed the decree of Haman, all we could do to Haman's decree is try to get around it, defer it, push it off, but we never eradicate it. There's always this looming threat of Lahashmit, Laragul Yabed, and it's a threat we deal with every single year. And therefore, the Medrash, when the Medrash says that a house that has snakes in it, you bring the horn of a ram and you smoke into it and the snakes run away, the Kavanah of this Medrash, says the Ben Ish Chai, is a yearly, annual message. It's not only for that generation. Every single year we deal with a Haman, we deal with an Amalek, and every year we need to smoke him out of the water. And how do we do that? We lay in the Megillah, and we give Shalach Manas, and we give Matanos Avyoinim, and we eat the Suda, until finally we experience the final miracle of history, and that is Esther Soif Kol HaNisim, and that is the downfall of Amalek. What we're learning is a very frightening aside, that the Gzera of Haman Lahashmid LaRegul Yabed has never abolished. There is looming over the heads of Klal Yisrael until the end of time the threat of Haman. To say, the Ben Ish Chai, does anybody else say this? Where does this come from? I tell you the truth. This was an idea that was brewing for many, many years. I saw a tshuva a long time ago. But then as I began to research the subject, I came across that this idea is firmly rooted in sources that go back all the way to the times of the Rishonim Kamat, in many, many very interesting sources. Let's start with the following. I found a tshuva, contemporary tshuva, Shaul Sechuvas Shevet HaKahasi Rav Shammai Kahas Gross. And he wants to know, you know, on the one hand, people treat Tainus Esther more lenient than other Tanisim, and possibly in Halacha it is more lenient than other Tanisim. But how lenient is it? And he says, he makes the case that it's not as lenient as we think it may be. He says the reason for Tainus Esther is based on that which the Mekubalim write, that the decree of Haman was never abolished. It was only deferred. And when was it deferred to? The big Taf and the big Ches. Tach v'tach, 1648-1649. That the decree of Haman was not abolished. It was pushed off to 1648-1649. Therefore, every year when Purim is coming and approaching, it fills a Yid with dread, with fear, with awe, with fright. What are we going to do? Haman is coming. Lahashmid laregul yabed. And therefore, we have no alternative but to fast before Purim, to be mevatel, the looming threat of Haman, says Shaul Sechuvat Shevet HaKasi, an incredible pshat. Now, I wanted to give shir about it, but I didn't feel there was not enough substantiation. This is a contemporary tshuva. It's a very interesting suggestion. But to say that a tainus that we've been fasting for thousands of years is because we're trying to defer and keep on pushing off the gezeira of Haman, I still felt that this required more. But he writes, what? Yeah, Rav Shammai Kahas Gross is a contemporary poisek. He brings down from the Mekubalim, so I'm searching and searching. Who are these Mekubalim? And then it came in like a torrent. It came in, mamish, the shamayim opened up, and the information that became available is lo yuman ki yisupar. I came across the sefer. Maybe I've met one person who heard of the sefer. The name of the sefer is Osis Rimoni. The Osis Rimoni was written by the Yismach Moshe. Now the Yismach Moshe, most people heard of. Yismach Moshe was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer. He was the progenitor of Satmar. Yismach Moshe was one of the Goyne Olam. He was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer. There are tshuvas between the Chassam Sofer and him. And he writes one of the most astounding pshatim in the Megillah. The pasuk says, "Vimei haPurim ha'ele lo yavru. Purim will never cease. V'zichram lo yosef. Its memory will never end. Vatich toiv Esther bas Avichayil." And Esther wrote the Megillah. And the Megillah seems to be repetitious. It says, Purim will never cease. The memory will never stop. And Esther wrote the Megillah. Says the Yismach Moshe, if you want to know the secret of Megillah Esther, look in Josephus. Yismach Moshe is saying, look in Josephus. In the back of Josephus is a word called She'eras Yisrael. And in the She'eras Yisrael it says that we know that the decree of Haman was never abolished. This is in Josephus, but we have a tradition. It was deferred, it was pushed off. Ki kesav asher nichta b'shem ha-melech in lahashiv. And when was it pushed off? 1648, 1649, the big tough and the big ches. And you'll say, where? Not only that, says the Yismach Moshe, look in Josephus, this is Merumas in the Chumash itself. Ki yad al kes ka. What day of the year is there a legislated fast for the Chmelnytsky pogroms brought in the Magen Avram? Chaf Sivan. Kiyad al Kes Ka. Kes Rosh Tevois Chaf Sivan. Then Amalek came and we pushed him off till Kes, till Chaf Sivan. So listen to this Yismach Moshe. God Almighty is sort of dealing with this decree of Haman. We know that the decree of Haman was written bechaspo, was written in clay. That means there was a threat in Shamayim. It wasn't a threat. It was recorded in clay that Haman would annihilate Chasram Kal Yisrael. The only thing that it wasn't written in is bedam. It wasn't written in blood, the Medrash says. But it was written. It was stamped in clay. So we've got a problem. Houston, we've got a problem. So what does the Rebbeinu Shlom have to do? Rebbeinu Shlom says, "Vimei haPurim ha'ele lo yavru. Purim will never cease. The gzeir of Haman will never cease. So what are we going to do to ensure that Klal Yisrael won't be annihilated? V'zichram lo yosef. You know how to ensure that the memory of the Jewish people will never cease? Batichtoiv Esther. Esther pushed it off to the big tough, to the year 1648. Says Yismach Moshe, the number of Jews that were around in the times of Purim, if they would have been killed then, there would not have been a continuity of the Jewish people. So therefore the Rebbeinu Shlom delayed it, and the number of Jews who would have been killed in times of Purim were in fact murdered in 1648, 1649. But had it been earlier in history, that would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. He reads this into the Psukim of the Megillah. V'imei haPurim ha'ele lo yavru. Haman's decree will never cease. But what's going to be with the memory of the Jewish people? V'zichram lo yosef. Why will our memory never end? The answer is v'atichtoiv Esther, because Esther deferred the gezer of Haman. Say, oh, come on. So fine, a Ben Yehoyada. You have a Yismach Moshe, Marv Raboisa. You ever hear the Chassam Sofer? In the Toiras Moshe, the Chassam Sofer. Now this is in the full edition called Toiras Moshe HaChadosh, Shir Ma'ayin. So you have editions from his son, Rav Shimon Sofer, the Rav of Erloy. He brings down from the She'eris Yisrael of Josephus that the decree of Haman was pushed off to the year 1648, 1649. Says the son of the Chassam Sofer, probably or possibly Chmelnytsky and his guys were Gilgulim of the Amalekim in the times of Purim. That's what he writes. I'm not making this up. This is on the fourth line in the Toras Moshe. And he says, Leka midi deloy ramizi bai raisa. If the Megillah is saying that the decree of Haman was pushed off to 1648, it has to be in the Chumash itself that it was pushed off to 1648. And it is in the Chumash itself. My rabbi say, listen to the following. Says Reb Shimon Sofer, the Medrash tells us that Haman was hung on a kites, on a thorn. Where is the first time the word kites appears in the Chumash? The kites v'dardar. Kites, the guy who was hung on a thorn, v'dardar. He'll be delayed midar ledar. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. What's the gematria of dardar? 204, 204. 1648, 1649, Tafchas, Dar is Tafchas. Koitz, Haman, Vidardar will be delayed until the year 1648. That's Dardar is 204, 204, 408, 1648. And here we have a number 11 from Josephus itself and Chelek Beis of Yosifan. He brings V'chachme ha'emes amru ki gezeras Haman asher nizbatla ba'esahi chala b'shnas tavches. And then I found that the Nitzutzei Shimshon, you know who the Nitzutzei Shimshon is? None other than one of the greatest all-time Mekubalim who lived in 1648-1649. None other than Rav Shamshon Meyash Chapoli himself. He records that the letters Tavches in the Megillah are a prediction for his year of his Petira. Al Kes Ka is Chaf Sivan, the day of the demise of the Tzadikim. Marv Rabbeisai, I found it in Gedolim who lived before 1648-1649. I didn't have it on the sheet. In the Halachos Ketanos of Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz, he already writes, you want to hear what he writes? That the Gzera of Haman was never abolished, it was merely delayed for all times of tragedy in Klal Yisrael. You know why God's name is not in the Megillah? Because God said, how can I put my name in the Megillah? The Megillah predicts future tragedy for the Jewish people. It says in the Megillah, Ki kesav asher nichtav b'shem ha-melech ein lahashiv, that this decree will be looming throughout time. God said, I can't put my name in it. That's why the Chachamim did not want to canonize Esther. They said, we're going to canonize a document that there's a looming decree over the heads of the Jewish people for all eternity. The rabbi said, no thanks. This is the Halachos Ketanos. I don't have it on the sheet. I found it after. However, Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz, it's in the Sefer Karben Mincha Oisias Kuf Tzadikeh and Reish Tzadikeh. Marv Rabbeisai, this first part of the shir, I don't think many are familiar with. The second part of the shir, I think, we're all familiar with. But once we know the first part of the shir, the second part of the shir will take on a completely different form. Marv Rabbeisai, if that's the case, that the big letters in the Megillah indicate historically dates in our history where the Gzera of Haman came to fruition. So if you know this, good, don't steal the thunder. But you'll see that we're gonna learn in a new light. They're not only big letters in the Megillah, they're also small letters in the Megillah. We know we come to the 10 sons of Haman. Vayaku hayudimi oyvehem, number 13, makas chara v'herag v'yavidon. Vayasu v'soyneyem, kertsoynam, o v'shushan habira, goyudim v'yabed. Right, we have the small tuf in Parshandasa. We have the small shin in Parmashta. We have the small zayin in Vaizasa. So now in the context of what we've learning so far, that the big letters of the Megillah are not, you know, look, before 1648, 1649, nobody had any idea what the big letters were for. So we say like the Roikeach, the big tuf is, you know, a real ksiva. The big ches are the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. But after the date, you know, what could you possibly say other than 1648, 1649? But what are these letters? Tav Shin Zayin. Tav Shin Zayin, of course, 707. And then we have one of the most inexplicable psukim in the Megillah. Look at number 14. Va'toymer Esther Mala Melech Toiv Ina Sin Gamachar La Yudim Asher B'Shushan La'asos Kedos Hayom Yeis. So let's get the background. They went into Shushan, they annihilated Amalekim, and they killed 500 people. So Achashverosh, that fool, goes to his wife. He says, Esther, ma bakashasech v'seyos, ma shelasech v'seyos, ma bakashasech oid, v'yinaseinlach. Honey, whatever you want. None of this Archatzi Hamalchus business. Whatever you want! Here's my American Express Platinum card. Whatever you want! So this is the first time that the king is telling Esther, do whatever you want. So I'd say, build the Beis HaMikdash, build Yerushalayim. I'm getting out of here. I want to move back to Mordechai. No! I want to kill more Amalekim. Yinosein gamachar la'ayudim. We didn't kill enough of you guys. We want to kill more. We only killed 500. We want to chop off everybody's head. Oh! Now, Achzer is looking in the background, and there are 10 dead sons of Haman. She says, dead sons. Who cares? I want to hang these guys. What got into this lady? They're dead. The king is, for the first time in history, saying you could do whatever you want. Why does she want to hang 10 dead guys? Why does she need to kill more Amalekim? But as we know, the king does not only refer to Achashverosh, as the Medrash tells us. HaMelech Achashverosh refers to King Achashverosh. HaMelech could refer also to God. Well, let's put this to the test. Va'toymer Esther, imala melech toiv. And Esther says, if it pleases the king, yinosein gamachar. So now Esther is not only asking Achashverosh to hang 10 dead guys, she's asking God to hang 10 dead guys. What's going on over here? As we know, we have some kind of tradition, and this is something we talk about, but sometimes we don't know, where do we get this from? That Germany is Amalek. Okay. Who says? The Yahu says. So the first time, first of all, there's a story in the biography of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld that in the year 1898, when Wilhelm, the Caesar of Germany, the Emperor of Germany, came to visit Palestine, everybody came out to greet him, to be able to make the bracha of Shechalak Mikvayda Lebasar Adam, with the exception of two tzaddikim who would not go see him. And that is Rev Tzvi Michal Shapira and Rev Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. And Rev Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said, the reason I did not go out to see Wilhelm, because I have a tradition from my Rebbe, Rev Yeshua Leib Diskin, from the Vilna Gaon, that Germany is Amalek, and they could look good, and they could be dressed immaculately, and their boots could be shining, but nevertheless, as well-groomed as they are, that's how vicious, and that's how much rishus is on the inside, and therefore we don't look at them. That's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said, but this is more than a tradition from the Vilna Gaon, because as we know, there's an incredible Gemara, a prophetic Gemara, Gemara Megillah, Da Vav Amud Aleph, going on to Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us about the petition of Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara is discussing the Pasuk in Tehillim, where Yaakov Avinu turns to God and he says, God Almighty, Al Titein Hashem Avaye Rasha. Ribon Hashem, do not give the desire of the wicked, Zemamoy Al Tafek. Do not remove his muzzle. So Yaakov Avinu is asking the Ribon Hashem, God, remove not the muzzle of the wicked. What does this refer to? Says the Gemara Megillah, Amar Yaakov Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Shelolam, don't give Esav his desire. Don't remove the muzzle of Esav. What's the muzzle of Esav? Germania. So you say, oh, Germany. No, it doesn't say Germany. It says Germania. This is not, if you want to say Germania is Germany, you need a proof. Now, you can't just say because it sounds that way. But anyway, the Gemara says, Germamia. If Germamia would but go forth, they would destroy the entire world. So the Gemara is telling us that Germany has the capacity to destroy the world, and there are only two things that hold them back. There are 300 crown princes in Germamia. Utlas mea vishit in mechamisha merzavni ika baroimi. And there are 365 chieftains in Rome. Uvichol yoimo nafki hani lape hani mikdochadminao. And every day they kill each other. Umitra dilo ukmi malka. And they're now preoccupied at appointing a new king. So the Gemara says Germany has the capacity to destroy the world. There are only two things holding it back. They're muzzled. What's the muzzle of Germany? Number one, disunity. They can't get along. They have 300 chieftains. And number two, they're fighting with Rome. They're fighting with Italy. The Gemara implies if Germany would ever get their act together and unify as one people and make an alliance with Italy, they would be able to go forth and destroy the world. And if you think, well, what does the Gemara mean exactly that Germany has 300 princedoms? Well, let me read to you something. I'm going to read to you from the Rise and Fall of the Third Reich and the Hebrew Encyclopedia. But I want to tell you something. While most of the countries in Europe were unified for already hundreds of years, Not until 1871. Germany was a fragmented patchwork of a state. I'll read to you from the Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. By the end of the Middle Ages, which had seen Britain and France emerge as unified nations, Germany remained a crazy patchwork of some 300 individual states. Written 1,500 years after the Gemara, confirming that the Gemara is not Nagata. We don't know what the Gemara means. No, we know what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says 300, the Gemara means 300. Hebrew Encyclopedia, the political disintegration of Germany had far-reaching economic effects. 300 princedoms and free cities guarded their economic autonomy fiercely. But in 1871, Bismarck unites the Germanic republics. And for the first time in his history, Germany now rears its head and is primed for world conquest. And World War I breaks out. But Germany loses World War I. Because Italy started off World War I neutral, but eventually Italy joined the Allies. And again, somehow the world recognizes we need to break apart Germany, and Germany is again disunited. But then, soon later, Hitler rises to power. And Hitler makes one of the most bizarre moves in world history. He begins again to unite the Germanic republics, and his advisors say, "What in the world are you doing? The world will never let you... You accomplish this." And Hitler says this is the only way to ascend. And then Hitler made one of the most inexplicable moves in political history. He made an alliance with Mussolini. Nobody could understand. Why is Hitler aligning with Mussolini? Everybody knows the Italians make good pizza and they can't fight to save their lives. Nobody wants the Italians on their side. No war ever. Nobody ever wanted the Italians on their side. And Hitler broke every treaty he ever made with Poland, with Hungary, with Russia. The only treaty he never broke was with Mussolini. As if Hitler knew the Gemara and Megillah, that for Germany to come forth and destroy the world, they need to be united and they need to be allied with Italy. So you say, but the Gemara says, Germania, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Kimeduma li Germania. So you say, okay, Germany is Germania. So he says, Ashkenaz, okay? Ashkenaz. The Vilna Goin writes in Yuma, Goimer ze Germania, tzarch loimer Germania. And Yaakov Avinu was the one who was mispalel, God Almighty, don't let Germany unite. Don't let them ally themselves with Italy. If they would ever do so, they would go forth and inflict hapisron hasofi, the final solution. By the way, if only we would appreciate what a Jew is the way Hitler did. Hitler writes in Mein Kampf that the Jews inflicted on society, on mankind, two imperfections, two mumim, a bodily imperfection and an emotional imperfection. We inflicted on the world the mila. The mila is the imperfection of the body, and we inflicted on the world conscience, morality, which is the arla, the mila of the conscience. Hitler said, "I will destroy the Jew. I will destroy the imperfection of the body and the imperfection of the soul." Hitler understood what a Jew represents. Hitler understood that when the world sees a Jew, they realize there's morality, there's ethics in the world. And therefore, when the war was over, and Baruch Hashem left us, sarid upalet, a she'eres ha'pleita. And in June in 1945, in the city of Nuremberg, which was a hotbed of Nazi activity, the world's... convened some type of war tribunal to try some of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, that they caught. And they actually sat to adjudicate what kind of punishment should we administer to these Nazis. And of course, almost none of the nations of the world had sympathy, of course, except for France. And the French judge says they should be treated honorably. Shoot them. Shoot them in the head and let them die a peaceful death. And that's what these 10 Nazis wanted. Their names are Yimach Shemam Shem Risham Yerkov, Hermann Göring, who was Hitler's second in command, Wilhelm Frick, interior minister, Joachim Ribbentrop, minister of foreign affairs, Field Marshal Keitel, Ernest Kaltenbrunner, Julius Streicher, the editor of Das Stürmer, Fritz Sokol, and all the other Alfred Rosenberg, the philosopher, all of these 10 Rishayim. And they were hoping to be shot in the head. And when they heard that the decision was that they were going to be hanged, they said, why? We're not deserving. We're not just mere peasants. We're generals. We don't deserve such a demeaning death. They did not want to be hanged. They were very disturbed. They were very shaken by this impending death. And we know that the night before the decision, the night before the hanging, Julius Streicher committed suicide. He had his final supper and he poisoned himself. Goring. And as we all know, as reported in what would we do without Newsweek, 1946? The end of the article reads, only Julius Streicher went without dignity. He had to be pushed across the floor, wild-eyed and screaming, Hail Hitler! Mounting the steps, he cried out, and now I go to God. He stared at the witnesses facing the gallows and shouted, Purim Fest, 1946. By the way, if you don't know what Purim is, says Newsweek, Purim is a Jewish feast. But the question is, it wasn't Purim. It was Hoshana Rabbah, Tavshin Zion. Actually, the punishment was scheduled for October, Tavshin Vav. And because the church, Yemach Shemam V'Zichram, pled for amnesty, they pushed it off from Tavshin Vav to Tavshin Zion, 1946, Tavshin Zion. Because in the Megillah it said Tavshin Zion. We can't have this happen in Tavshin Vav. Purim Fest 1946. As if Streicher knew that somehow the joy of the hanging of the 10 sons of Haman was repeating itself. It was Maase Avos Siman Labanim. This is something we all know about. I'm sure we've heard this many times. Perhaps we could add, you know, all the Mefarshim want to know, V'yis Parshandasa, V'yis Dalfon, V'yis Asposa, V'yis Poirasa, V'yis Adai, V'es is Bala Rabbois. Who is V'es Bala Rabbois? Who else was hung besides the 10 sons of Haman? V'es Frick, V'es Ribbentrop, V'es Keitel, V'es Kaltenbrunner, V'es Streicher, V'es Sokol, V'es Rosenberg, V'es is B'gematria Arar, V'es is Bala Rabbois. So says Rabbi Michal Bar Weissmandel, and this was his discovery. This was the discovery of the great Rav of Nitra, Rabbi Michal Bar Weissmandel, who is the master of Dilugei Oisiyos HaTorah. And this is brought in his biography. I think it's on your sheet. You knew him? You learned in Nitra, right? In number 29 in the Sefer Ish Chamudos, Rabbi Michal Bar Weissmandel points out that the little tough and the little Shin and the little Zion is Bala Rabbis, that in the year 1946, Tav Shin Zion, there will be a repetition and a replay of the Aseres B'nai Haman. And therefore Esther, looking into the future, she knows we killed 500 Amalekim yesterday, but she says, Yinosein Gam Machar, Yesh Machar La'achar Zman. There's going to be a time when after Klal Yisrael is decimated and we want some hope and some retribution and we're going to have 10 Nazis, Yinosein Gamacha La'Yehudim Asher B'Shushan La'asos Kedos Hayom V'yes Haseres B'nei Haman Yislu Al Ha'etz, as Esther to Melech Malchei Hamalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Michal Bar Weissmandel. So you'll ask, how compelling is that, Tavshin Zion? You know, Tavshin Zion occurred 6 times in our history. Tavshin Zion, Aleph Tavshin Zion, based, all right? 707, 1707, 2707, 3707, 4707, 5707. So it just happened to be they got one of the Tavshin Zions. So Esther tells the person, when I'm recording the Megillah, I want you to write a little Tavshin Zion. And the scribe says, why, Esther? And Esther says, one day you'll find out. And then Esther says, you know what? Make the Vav big so that they see it will be the 6th time in world history that Tavshin Zion happens. By the way, I found in a Sefer, Oitzer Yediyos HaTorah, Rabbi Chaim Michel Stern, one of the great Mechabrei Svarim today. Unbelievable thing. He says, if you take the gematria of Parmashta, Arisai, Aridai, Vaizasa, you take the gematria of the Aseres B'nai Haman, you get 7,200, which is the gematria of Joachim, Robinshop, Ernest, Kalten, Brunner, Julius, Streicher, Alfred, Rosenberg, Wilhelm, Keitel, Alfred, Yoder, Arthur, Siskenvart, Hans, Frank, Fritz, Zagel, Wilhelm, Frick, Aseres. Exactly, he says. Now, I calculated it doesn't come out. So I'll leave it to you how it comes out. You see, I'm honest with you. But he writes in his sefer that the gematria of these 10 chevra are exactly the gematria of the 10 sons of Haman.
Two of them got off.
So you'll ask, but wait a second. Wait a second. But Goring committed suicide. So there were 11 Nazis and there are only 10 sons of Haman. Yeah, but Haman also had a daughter. And what did Haman's daughter do? The night before, she also committed suicide. So you have 10 sons of Haman and one daughter, 10 Nazis, and one and Goring who committed suicide. So you'll ask, but Goring was a Zachar, and Haman's daughter was an Akeva. If you know some world history, it's not a Kasha of a Hameven Yavin. And the rest is beyond the scope of a general audience. Now, the next statement I don't stand behind. I'm just reporting what it says. What about Haman himself? You know, Haman himself is not on the list. Neither is Hitler. Neither is Hitler. And he brings down that there's a tradition, maybe, okay. And then he says, by the way, you know, we have a Messiah. Hitler never removed his shoes. Now, the truth is, I could vouch, I never saw Hitler remove his shoes. And I don't know anybody who ever saw him remove his shoes. And he didn't remove his shoes. He says he was a shed. And we know shedim have chicken feet. Okay, Zolzaina Zol, he was a shed. I don't know, okay. That's what he reports. Again, I'm not, I can't endorse that. I can't dismiss that. I'm just reporting to you what's written in that sefer. Marvar Aboisai, what I'm trying to point out, and the purpose of this shiur, is not to go over this very famous historical episode and its allusion in the Megillah. I think most of us have heard this before. But I'm trying to combine it with what's already brought in Sfarim from 500 years ago, that the looming decree of Haman was never abolished. Haman's decree of Lahashmid, Laroi, Goliabid was never abolished. It was merely deferred. What year was it deferred to? Tav Ches, a big Ches. It was deferred to 1648, 1649. Knowing this principle, which is well documented, we understand in a much, in an incredible light, why the downfall of these 10 Nazis are predicted in the Megillah. But we could say a Dover Nifla Ma'oid. We could say, why is there a big Tav and a big Ches? That's when Haman's Koyach was Nisgadel. That's when the Gezer of Lahashmid Laroi Goliabid came out. And why is there a little Tav Shin Zayin? Because that's when Haman was finally, perhaps, subdued for the final time. The same way the big Tav and the big Ches represent the coming to fruition of the Gezer of Haman, the little Tav Shin Zayin perhaps represents the squelching of the final Koyach of Haman. And there is no doubt then that if Haman made a decree, Lahashmid Laroi Goliabid, and if it was deferred to the year, Tav Ches, there's no question that what happened in the last generation somehow was connected to that looming threat of Haman, Lahashmid Laroi Goliabid. So you'll ask, I have one question though. If Tav Shin Zayin is when the decree of Haman was squelched, why did Esther have to make a big Vav? Shouldn't she have made the small Vav? That's when it was squelched. And Lo Yaleinu Nebuch, perhaps the big Vav is another episode and another tragic moment in our history where Haman's decree came out to fruition. The six, the big six, the big Vav in the Megillah that the Gemara says you must make big. It's the only Vav, it's the only letter mentioned in the Gemara that has to be big. And according to what we're learning, that the big Oisius is when Haman's decree came to fruition. The big Vav, it's written, represents the 6 million Yidden. That's the Vav Devaizasa Tsarach Lemischei. You need to elongate it. That's when Haman's decree came out, hopefully for the last time. But in Tavshin Zayin, Haman was Neskaten, and hopefully, as the Ben Ishchai tells us, every year we lay in the Megillah, we destroy Haman. Haman is Soif Kol Hanisim Arv Raboisai. The reason for Tainus Esther is a protection, that even though Purim is the most joyous day of the year, it's also fraught with a degree of Yira, and Hashem Bechastoi. Gives us a Tainus Esther to be mevatel any looming decree of Haman Arasha. I saw in the Sefer Seder Hayom, Seder Hayom was written by the author of Moida Ani Lefanecha Melech Kelchai V'Gam Talmud of Arizal, that the reason why we have a mitzvah of Chayiv Ovne Inish Lebesume Bepuraya Adelayada is because since we are concerned with this looming threat, so to speak, we drink. And we lay there, and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever decree should have been, let it be fulfilled like this. We lay there, kemes, kamat, and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, let the gezeirah of Haman be fulfilled in this life. So this is an idea, Rabbi Isai, that is found, Shevet HaKohasi, in the Yismach Moshe, in the Shir Ma'on El Chsam Sofer, in Rav Shamshon Me'ash Chapoli, in Rav Michal Ber Weiss Mandel, that Ki Kesov Asher Nichto B'Shem HaMelech V'Nachtoim Ein LaHashiv, and that was the hesitation of the Chachamim to record Megillas Esther. But Marv Raboisai, we're at the end of days. We're done with the big letters. We're done with the big tough. We're done with the big ches. We're done with the big vav. We've squelched Haman. We're almost there. We're at his neck. We're at his neck. We hope this year on Tainus Esther, we hope that will be the last smoke that we need to come out of the horn to abolish Haman, that it should be, Esther should be, Soif Kol Hanisim should be Zoicha to Gula Shleima, Bias Kol Tzedek, Meher Yamino, Amen. Marv Raboisai, if anybody wants to purchase the Sefer, it's available. And after this week, you probably won't need it until next year.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.